Thank you. Matthew chapter 9, verse 27 through 33. Oh, Michaela, thank you. That was wonderful. I can't wait till next service. Man, if you want to hear more off of her CD, you can stay around for next service too. And if you want to purchase a CD, there are some that are available out in the lobby this morning. You put that in your CD player and just go down the street and bless and worship God all day. That's the way it goes. Today we continue our study in the book of Matthew chapter 9. And today we talk about the healing of two blind men. Now something that we've always been amazed by is power. If you remember back, if you're old enough to remember back, 1980, May 8th, 1980, Mount St. Helens blew its top in an eruption that was the largest in all of United States history. Blew 1,370 feet off the top of that mountain. A crater was left 1 mile long, 2 miles wide. Enough trees were destroyed to build 200,000 houses, three-bedroom houses. It's amazing the things that were done to that mountain. The explosion there was equal to 25,000 atomic bombs like were dropped over Hiroshima. That's a huge explosion. And here, 42 years later, if you're old enough to remember, you can still think back about that. We're mesmerized by power. And that's what Matthew is bringing out. Little by little, each week we're seeing a different miracle of God showing the power that Christ brings. So today is no different as we look at the healing of these two blind men. And the Old Testament gives us understanding that the Messiah would heal blind people. It's something we know that even in the Gospels, that's the infirmity that was healed the most was blindness. And blindness is really emblematic of sin, of spiritual blindness. And most tragic thing today, and the greatest measure of blindness in a person's life is if they don't see their own sin. And when you don't see your own sin, then you don't see the Savior as the one who forgives it. So we begin reading today over in Matthew chapter 9, verse 27 through 33. So what we're laying out today is Matthew gives us this illustration of Jesus healing these two blind men, but he's also given us an illustration and understanding of how people come to salvation. It's very interesting what we see and what we don't see but understand from the Scripture. Here we are, verse 27. And Jesus went on from there, and two blind men followed him, crying out, "Have mercy on us, Son of David." When he entered the house, the blind men came up to him, and Jesus said to them, "Do you believe that I am able to do this?" And they said to him, "Yes, Lord." And he touched their eyes, saying, "It shall be done to you according to your faith." And their eyes were opened, and Jesus sternly, this is cool, he sternly warned them, "See that no one knows about this." But they went out and spread the news about him throughout all the land. And they were going out, a mute, demon-possessed man was brought to him. And the translation is actually brought to the blind men, or former blind men, brought him to Jesus. And after the demon was cast out, the mute man spoke, and the crowds were amazed and were saying, "Nothing like this has ever been seen in Israel." Let's pray together. Father God, today, teach us by your word. Show us, God, what you want us to see. Because, God, if we're honest with ourselves, there's still blind spots in our own life. Help us through all of this. In Jesus' name, amen. So verse 27 says, as Jesus went on from there, well, where was there? Where was he going from? Well, if you remember last week, Jesus had just went to Jairus' house, who was the lead elder of the synagogue. He just went to his house and raised his 12-year-old daughter back to life. And now he is going back to the house, it says, which we believe is Peter's house across town. Can you imagine, though, man, being at Jairus' house? If you think about that whole this funeral scene going on, and there's a band with playing the dirge music, the music's just sad music, and people crying out, and all these wealthy people around there because this is the leader of the synagogue, and man, he has all these wealthy friends, and they're just mourning and mourning, and Jesus walks in and busts up the funeral and raises this little girl back to life. Back to life. See, Jesus defeated death for this young girl's life. He literally reached into eternity and brought her soul back into the existence over here on this side, this physical terrestrial side. Just think if you were there to see that. It's amazing. Man, wouldn't that just be astonishing to see a person brought back to life? You say, Brother Kevin, we'll never see that. Yeah, you will. That's called the resurrection. You ever heard of that? You know, Easter morning, resurrection of Jesus, there will be a resurrection of those who are in Christ also. So here we are. Jesus and his disciples, followed by this very enthusiastic crowd now, just left Jairus' house. Jesus is going back across town, what we will believe is Peter's house. It says to the house. Now these people had just witnessed this 12-year-old girl brought back to life. Could you imagine the energy and excitement that was around them? We've never seen anything like this, guys. Look, he just brought this girl back to life. Something special about that dude. They were going back, and man, they were shouting and excitement. And they passed these two blind men. And with all of the noise and all the excitement, I'm sure these two blind men began to fall in behind this crowd, knowing they're going somewhere, but they know Jesus is in there. And they remember from the Old Testament stories that Messiah, when Messiah came, he would heal blind people. Verse 27 says, as Jesus went from there, two blind men followed him, crying out, "Have mercy on us, Son of David." That word crying out, though, there is kradzo. Means to scream, to shrill, to shout. It's described as a shrieking sound. They were crying out. Listen, they were crying out from the very pits of their soul, crying out to Christ, because they knew from what they understood from Old Testament prophecy that this Jesus had to be the Messiah. And Messiah heals blind people. And they were in misery. They were in agony. They knew their condition. And they were crying out, "Have mercy upon us, Son of David." It's a strong, aggressive Greek word there. Matter of fact, it's the same Greek word used when Jesus was on the cross. He cried out. So Matthew's building this lesson for us to understand, for us to see this picture of salvation that is happening. So there's several things going on there. First of all, is the desperation being demonstrated by these blind men. They were in a desperate situation, desperate condition. They had seen their depravity. They had seen the worst part of their life. And they know Jesus could do something about it. Man, do we have that kind of desperation in our lives? This is the desperation which salvation is made. What does it take to come to Christ? a real desperation of one's sin condition before a holy and righteous God. If we think we're all that, and we think we have it all together, and we're not that bad of a person after all, then there's no salvation for us in that. It's until we get to the part where we're desperately dependent upon Christ and Christ alone for our salvation. If we're still thinking we're not so bad of a person, we're not there yet. Because desperation means that we're from the core part of our being seeing that we need Christ. These two blind men realize that they need Jesus. They need Him. A real desperation of one's sin condition before a holy and righteous God brings them to the point of salvation in Christ. The desperation is the first thing we see in these two men. We understand, listen, if you're blind, you're going to be facing some challenges in your life. In verse 27, it kind of stands out there for us. These two men following Christ down the street, but there's nobody guiding them. They were following the crowd. Maybe they were just following the crowd noise. Or is it likely, unknown to us, that someone is helping guide them along the way? Scripture, you know, omits any recognition of anybody grabbing them by the arm and helping these two blind men and showing them and leading to Christ, because they couldn't see. The crowd was there. Jesus was somewhere in the middle, somewhere leading the pack. He was over there, but they knew that he was there somewhere. And really, what we have here is this beautiful picture of the Holy Spirit bringing someone to Christ. When we see our desperation, maybe there's a friend that's talking to us about Christ, but listen, the only one that could bring us to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ is Holy Spirit. And it's amazing that Scripture omits anybody ever grabbing these men by the arm and leading them to Jesus. They were physically blind, but they were not spiritually blind. How do we know that? Verse 27 tells us, the blind men followed him, crying out, "Have mercy upon us, Son of David." These men used Jesus' messianic title, Son of David. This is an important statement. Why did they say that? Well, if you remember back in Matthew chapter 1, verse 1, Matthew introduces Jesus this way: the record of the genealogy of Jesus, the Messiah, the Son of David, the Son of Abraham. You see, Matthew began his gospel with this messianic confirmation of Christ. In other words, he's saying that Jesus Christ is the Son of David. He's the fulfillment of all those prophecies in the Old Testament. Here he is. Here's your Messiah. The title Son of David, they conferred on Jesus. And listen, that title gave him dominion and royalty and kingship that the prophets of old had spoken about. So this Son of David will be the Son of God. Everybody, including those old religious Pharisees, every Jew knew that Messiah had the title Son of David. Now here are these two blind men in their desperation, somehow getting down the street, following Christ, stumbling over all sorts of things, crying out, "Help us, Son of David! Have mercy upon us!" Over and over and over, going down the street, following after Christ. See, back in verse 27, man, crying out, "Son of David." See, that's an affirmation from these two blind men that they believed that Jesus was the long-awaited Messiah. They'd heard what he'd been doing. They just heard what he'd done there at Jairus' house. And they put two and two together real fast. Why can't we do that? What keeps us playing on the edge of religion but never saying yes to Jesus? There's so many people that come in and out of church doors, play religion, but they never break. They never say yes to Jesus. No doubt these Jewish men had heard many, many times from the Old Testament that when Messiah comes, he would heal blind. And the blind men knew that beyond a doubt this Jesus was Messiah. That's why they were so desperate to get to Jesus. They knew he was Messiah, and they knew that he would heal them. Oh, you see, when you recognize the depravity of your sin, you get in that desperation, you realize that your sin is leading you to hell, and there's no hope, you have nothing, you can't work yourself out of this mess that you've created for yourself, that Jesus is the only answer. You're in desperate desire for Christ. You're crying out to him, Lord Jesus, don't pass me by. These two blind men were begging beside the street. See, blind people back then couldn't work in that culture. So they were stuck to begging. And they had their little spots. But today, what was really unique is there was a funeral going on at Jairus' house, and all the rich people were over there. So they made their way to the corner over there by Jairus' house. So as the rich people came in and out, they could beg from them for money. Then Jesus comes through. Jesus broke up the funeral, and then he's walking right there by them, headed over to Peter's house a little distance away. And man, this excited crowd passes them, and the crowd passes by, and they begin to move. These two blind men begin to move following Christ. Following him, stumbling along the way. Maybe even falling down. Just crying out to the Son of David. They knew who Jesus was. He was Messiah. He was Son of God. He was Son of Man. He was heir to the throne of David. They had knowledge of Christ. And in their desperation, in their need, and in this knowledge, they wanted Christ. They needed Christ. Verse 3 says, have mercy on us, Son of David. That word, that little phrase, have mercy upon us, is krazo elio. That's the strongest form of the Lord, have mercy. Listen, they were desperately crying out to Jesus. Why? Because they were aware of their need. There's too many of us today who are not aware of our need. We just whitewash our lives up. We compare ourselves to someone else. We're not as bad as that person. We're not as bad as that person. I'm not doing what this person's doing. I'm not doing. Listen, it's time for us to have a reality check with God, not with what our neighbor's doing or not doing. This is what Jesus meant on the Sermon on the Mount. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 3, he said, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom. So in other words, blessed are those who are in desperation. They're in desperate spiritual crisis. They see their deep need for forgiveness in Jesus Christ. These two blind men, listen, They were there. They were in that moment of desperate need. They were poor in spirit. They could see their need, and they could see that the Savior was passing by. Even without physical eyesight, they knew he was there. They knew the Messiah was near. question for us. Listen, do you see the deepest desperation of need for Christ in your life? See, if you have no desperation for Christ, oh, may today you may have that desperation. You will see that you need Jesus beyond anything else in life. Because he's the one who brings you peace. He's the one who brings you wholeness. He's the one who brings you forgiveness. Listen, he's the one who brings you to heaven. Man, there's just a lot packed into this text, and I'll try to work through very fast. So remember, blindness in Scripture is symbolic of sin. It's a picture of sin. And these two blind men were aware of their condition. And out of that awareness grows a desperation, and out of that desperation comes a searching, and that led them to the knowledge of the Messiah. And they have the understanding of who Jesus is. Jesus is Messiah, and they're crying out for mercy and desperation and the knowledge who Christ is. Listen, when you see your sin and you get in desperation, you have this knowledge of Christ. You see your sin, you see the Savior, and you turn from your sin, you turn to the Savior, leaving your sin behind. That's repentance and faith, verse 28. Says, when he entered the house, the blind men came up to him, and Jesus said to them, "Do you believe that I am able to do this?" And they said to him, "Yes, Lord." Jesus entered the house, likely Peter's house here, and the question stands out. The blind men had been following Jesus for a ways now. Think about it. From probably across town, from Jairus' house over to the house where Jesus was going. And the crowd and all the excitement and everything about Jesus, these two men were crying out, "Have mercy upon us!" You know, somewhere along the line, Jesus heard them. He's a master of the universe. He created all. He knew those two blind men and everything about them before they were created. He knew and he saw them standing there and they followed. He heard all the way them crying out. Why didn't Jesus just stop and go heal them? He had a purpose. Because he was leading to something further than just healing their blindness. He was bringing them salvation. So Jesus goes all the way over to the house. Probably has a seat and gets a drink of water. And these two blind men come up to him. And all that crying out, Jesus really never acknowledged them. Why? We have to see that symbolism here, that Jesus brought them all the way into the house where he was going, where they may be also. Sounds like John chapter 14, verse 1 through 3. When his disciples asked, and Jesus says, "Oh, I've got to go away." He says, "Well, how do we know where you're going?" And Jesus says this, "In my Father's house are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you. For I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again, receive you to myself, and where I am, there you will be also." Picture, you have to see it. Blindness, emblematic of sin condition. Two blind men in desperation know their spiritual condition, but also know their physical condition. Messiah passes by. They see Jesus as Messiah. They're crying out for mercy, but Jesus doesn't acknowledge them at first. They keep crying out, calling him Messiah, and nothing happens. They go in, he goes in the house, and they follow him like they own the place. And Jesus brings them to the house for a purpose and for a reason. The whole scene is for a reason. The image here is Christ drawing these men to the house where he is. So Jesus draws them into the house, to ask them this question: do you believe that I am able to do this? Why does Jesus ask that question? Well, think about it. Each miracle that we have seen so far and all the things that we've looked at had a common factor in all of them: perseverance. Perseverance is the very way, is the way that Jesus draws out true faith in your life and in my life and in the life of those two blind men. Perseverance. You remember the story about the four friends who wanted to get their friend who was on a cot, who was paralyzed, down to Jesus? What did they have to do? They didn't, you know, the crowds just didn't break up for them. No, they tore the stinking roof off to lower their friend down to Jesus. Do you remember last week, Jairus' daughter who was dying? Jairus goes to Jesus. Jesus, come on, my daughter's dying. I need you to touch her and heal her. Okay, they're on their way. What happened? Woman takes his... touches his cloak. He turns around and talks to her. Delay, delay, delay. Perseverance, perseverance, perseverance. Jairus is over there. Jesus, come on. She can wait. It's been going on for 12 years. She can wait. You know, a few more minutes, not going to hurt. Come on, Jesus. Please, Jesus, come on. Come on, Jesus. Can you imagine? That's us. Jesus forced Jairus last week to persevere through the things he was doing over here so that Jairus' faith may be built, because Jesus was waiting for the little girl to die so he could bring her back to life. Here, Jesus made these blind men stumble all the way through the streets following the noises of the crowd and then get to the house and then go into the house for him to ask him, you guys think I can do this? Yes, Lord. Jesus makes us persevere through trials and troubles, through situations in our life that we don't understand, that we wonder why, God, why am I going through this? Because he's trying to draw true faith out of you. See, you can talk a lot of stuff about faith, but until you walk through the fires, you ain't got nothing but talk. Jesus, here he is. He let these two blind men walk all the way to the house. He heard them the whole time crying out. Did they persevere? Yes, they did. Think about it in your own life. Whenever you're going through something, some difficult situation, and you're praying, and Lord, you want God to change this right now, and the changes aren't coming, God is drawing it out because he's drawing out true faith in you. Are you going to show true faith, or are you going to quit? Are you going to be faithful and get it right, or are you just going to quit? Throw your hands up in the air. Say, I quit everything. I quit God. I quit church. I quit this. I quit that. I quit. Well, you failed the test then. Perseverance. You have to persevere. And as you do, your faith will be purified. And it will grow. True faith always, always involves perseverance. That's why we call it perseverance of the saints. That we persevere this journey of life and we're still following Jesus in the very end. Jesus draws out, lifts up, brings forth enduring faith. Jesus will force you to persevere. Is it fun? I don't know. James chapter 1, verse 2 through 4 tells us, consider it pure joy, my friends. Yeah, I'm still working on that one too. He said, Consider pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials in many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work. Oh, so God is doing something. He's working in me as he's forcing me to persevere through this. Bingo, you got it. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. And there's no shortcuts to glory. Listen, this deception, that's deception of the world. So you don't have to do this and don't have to do that. No, Jesus just tells you to persevere. But to persevere, Jesus did not acknowledge these two blind men because he was leading them to persevere to show their faith if it were true or not. He knew their situation. Matter of fact, Jesus knew their blindness and all the situation going on with them spiritually, mentally, emotionally, all that, far better than they did. He was paying attention in ways that they don't even know about. And some of you need to hear that. That God sees you. Because Psalm 33 tells us that. Verse 18 says, "Behold, the eye of the Lord is on those who fear him, on those who hope for his loving kindness." God works in us and for our good in ways that we can't even begin to understand and imagine. Think about it. If God did not delay for us to force us to persevere, our spiritual growth would be hindered. Man, if God didn't just push us and push us and push us, and we think we can't do this, Lord, I can't do this anymore. Throw a little spiritual fit. God says, yeah, you can. I'm with you. Told you I'd never leave you, forsake you. Verse 28, Jesus asked these two blind men, "Do you think I'm able to do this?" Jesus led them down the street into the house and forced them to persevere through all these obstacles in their way. He led them all the way to the house and asked them if he was able to heal them. Why did he ask them? Jesus, listen, Jesus was drawing out of them confession of their faith. Jesus did all this in order to draw out perseverance and a confirmation of their faith. These two blind men, why? Because Romans chapter 10, verse 9 and 10 tells us, if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart a person believes, resulting in righteousness. And with the mouth he confesses, resulting in salvation. You see what Jesus is doing? He made them persevere, brought them to the house, asked a simple question. And what was their response? Yes, Lord. Verse 28, do you believe that I am able to do this? And they said to him, yes, Lord. That word Lord there, Kyrio, Master, Almighty God, Supreme in Authority. That's what that Lord, yes, Lord, you are Almighty God. That's who Jesus was. Turn the text, Jesus is drawing them out for a confession of saving faith in him. And Jesus wanted, listen, he wanted to bring these two men all the way to salvation. Not just heal them in the street of their blindness. He wanted to see what their faith was made of. He knew it already, but they had to see it. And man, they had saving faith. Listen, for us in our Christian life, Jesus is always bringing us to confession and repentance in order to grow us to walk with him. Jesus drew them all the way to salvation. Does this mean that they were perfect? No. Well, because we see that in the next verse. Verse 29. He touched their eyes, saying, it shall be done to you according to your faith. And verse 30 says, and their eyes were opened. This is a picture of conversion, salvation. Verse 30, the latter part says, Jesus sternly warned them, catch this, they had just been healed of their blindness, and Jesus tells them, don't say a word. Don't tell anybody. He sternly warns them, see that that no one knows about this. How did they do? The very first command that Jesus told them, how did they do? They didn't hardly make it out of the house. Isn't it like us sometimes? But they went out and spread the news about it throughout all the land, verse 32, and they were going out, a friend of theirs who was demon-possessed, and was brought to him. I don't know how two blind men hanging out with a mute guy anyway who was demon-possessed. You think your friends are bad? They said, man, and Jesus cast this demon out. In the mute man now, he begins to talk, and they said, we've never seen anything like this. Clearly, listen, verse 31, these men collapsed in their obedience to Christ. Jesus commanded, don't say a word to anybody. But I'm going to be honest. If I had been blind my whole life and my sight just came back, I can't keep my mouth shut now. Much less if a miracle like that happened, I'm going to tell somebody about Jesus. A miracle did happen in us. We were brought from spiritually dead to spiritually alive, and heaven is our home, born again believer. How can we keep our mouth shut about that? See, we see ourselves here. How many of us have experienced disobedience after we've come to Christ? Every one of us. Even though we fall from time to time, listen, we're still committed to pursuing Christ. Even though these two men were disobedient to Christ, listen, their walk was not perfect. They still locked in to pursue Christ as Lord. Notice Jesus did not reprimand them. When they brought this their friend over there who was demon-possessed and mute, Jesus didn't say, guys, I told you not to tell him. But he didn't say anything like that. He healed that man, cast a demon out of him, and Jesus allowed him to speak. We have to realize that God's not angry with us. Even when we mess up, he's not angry with us. Jesus is not at war with us, his children. He's not at war with us. He's not going to smash us and slap us around. No. He leads us through some difficult times for us to persevere so that through that time, we have a story. Our faith grows, and we have a confession to tell. Listen, if you're here this morning, you don't know Jesus, if you've never come to a point of your life and realize, and listen, salvation, being born again is a point in time. You weren't raised that way. This is not what your mom and daddy do for you. This is you having a personal relationship with God. It's you seeing your sin, you confessing your sin, you repenting of your sin, in turning to Christ. Man, he's drawing you there. And he'll put you through the trials to get you there. Do you know Christ? He'll show you your blind spots, because we all have them. And sometimes there's 1,000 of them. But as we grow in Christ, he'll show them to us for us to confess and repent, so that we can be made whole in that area. Let's pray together. Father God, today we thank you for your love, your grace, your mercy. We thank you for Jesus Christ. We thank you for this account of these two blind men who came to saving knowledge and saving faith in you. But God, you had to draw them through the long streets to get them there. And God, there's someone today, Lord, there's some today who are being drugged through the long streets so that they have saving faith, not religion, not rites and rituals, but saving faith in you alone. Bring them to you in Christ's name. Amen.